a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell, thanks for hanging out with us. We hope you enjoy the podcast. If you have not been able to hear all the portions of the show over the radio waves, you can always hear it on the podcast. Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback to my right, former University of Utah quarterback, and so we get those insights every night, and we're able to make fun of them when they're totally off, and he's cool with that too, mostly, sometimes.
I'm never cool with it.
Scott is a big piece of the puzzle why we have fun on Fridays, especially here. So, and look, you are game. You're game to talk about whatever, and maybe it's because you've been criticized, but we're talking about this quarterback thing, about where these guys could go, the perfect place for them to go. And I didn't realize while I was going, man, all these guys who just go like one city to the next at the end of their career, and then I was like, oh, shoot, that's kind of what Scott did. And you were like, do you realize how hard it is? Plus, you feel like you could play for the rest of your dang career. You feel like you still have a shot. You feel like you're – and listen, no one chooses to go to Cincinnati. But when your agent calls up and goes, they need a backup or they want you to start, like, you're there. And that's the reason you go, because you feel like you can make a difference wherever
actually,
you go.
Actually, if you want to end your career, or if you want to, like, I'm ready to retire, just go to Cincinnati.
And go, this feels like the right time for me to be done.
It's about time to be over.
Oh, my goodness.
What was interesting about all of that, though, is Tom Brady made a comment, and it sounded like Gordon Hayward, where everyone thought, well, Gordon Hayward, he's going to re-sign with the Jazz. And he goes, well, you know, I just, you know, need to look at all my options and see what's out there and kind of, and that's what Tom Brady's saying. You know, Tom Brady's not sitting here going, what are you crazy? I'm going to be a New England Patriot my whole entire career. I'm not going anywhere. And he's actually going, I might need to look into this a little bit. Patriots are going, we want to know, what are you doing?
Right.
It just sounds to me like Tom Brady might be leaving.
On his way out. Well, you know, people started to take nods too. I didn't know this, but he's got an office at Gillette Stadium, like in a suite. Like, he has his own, like, office, and, like...
Tom Brady does?
Yeah, that's what they said. They were like, he cleaned out his personal suite at the, at Patriots Stadium, or at Gillette Stadium, and I thought, why did he have a... What? Like, that's a weird thing.
Suite. Yeah, that's
well, but it's not just that, but it was, like, and his office. It was, like, an office space and the suite at Gillette Stadium. Now, suite, I could see them being like, hey, Giselle and the kids and the...
What, can you get the, I don't know, the frozen hot dogs out of the freezer?
Maybe that's what it was. He's like, I just don't want this food to go bad, this all-organic, these rocks that we eat during the halftime. So, no, but there are indicators. Now, they had moved already, too. They moved away from Boston, I guess, he and Giselle did.
I have no idea.
But these are all...
I don't care.
Well, but I think we will care if he's wearing the black and silver... And look, that means we're going to go to every Raiders game if Tom Brady is the quarterback.
Go to every practice.
Look, the Raiders do dumb things. You think they're not going to try to get Tom Brady? Let's go. I want to see this thing happen. The Senior Bowl happening this weekend. I went on the mock draft boards just to see where kind of some of the local guys will end up. I'm still blown away by the fact that Jordan Love had his worst season, I think, maybe since he was a freshman. But even as a freshman, people were like, no, this guy's got a lot of talent. But he had a flop of a senior year, I think, in terms of production. But what But what's interesting to me, and will you please explain to me how a guy like Jordan Love ends up being really high up on the board, on the draft board, on these mock drafts, even though that nobody...
Do you know how the draft works?
No, that's what I want to know. I want to know how this thing works. Because I saw him going to the Saints. It said, but, on one of the mock drafts, like, oh, he's going to the Saints. I'm going, what?
It's
in
not
the first round.
The draft is not complicated. It really isn't. There's a complicating element to it, but the draft in and of itself is not complicated. The only rule that exists is when it's your turn to draft, you pick the most talented player available, end of discussion.
Not even necessarily what the needs are that you have.
Not needs. No, not needs at all.
What?
And it's the most, yeah, and that's why teams either are trying to move up or move down or whatever, because they know when it comes their turn. So let's say you're picking five, and the best player available is an offensive tackle. And on your team, you're loaded at offensive tackle, and they're all young, and the player that's available isn't even come close to being as good as what you have. So you go, I want to get out of this spot because I'm drafting on talent. No one drafts on need. So the trick to all of it is everyone's assessment of talent isn't the same. Like the Cincinnati Bengals aren't going to look at Jordan Love the same as maybe the Tennessee Titans or the Buffalo Bills or whatever. So everyone has their assessment of talent. You know, talent is in the eye of the beholder, and it's not across the board.
Right.
And so you'll see teams like a year ago, the New York Giants, they fell in love with and believed that this Daniel Jones was that good, that talented. And he didn't have a good year, or he didn't come from any kind of place. And so a lot of these boards, you hear this Jordan Love, like he could be a first round draft choice. He could be this and that. And it's based on their assessment of his talent. Where does he fit from a talent perspective? Not so much how did he do in his senior season or whatever. Now, the teams that are better at assessing talent, like getting it right, because you look at certain teams and you just go, Cincinnati Bengals pick first like every year.
Right.
And how can you not get the best?
Or the Browns. The Browns always never.
You can never get the best player.
Keep picking the number one quarterback. Why not?
It's because they don't take the time to really assess, like, yeah, it's talent. But there's also an underwriting, this person. Is their DNA something that's going to wire them to be successful in this league? I remember in college, and actually it was after I was drafted, and Tech Schramm, who was this kind of guru who kind of modernized scouting in the NFL for the Dallas Cowboys.
Who did he scout for?
He was with the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, just that was where he was the whole time?
He was there his whole entire – and right. he was considered the godfather of scout – I mean the guru. And he made a comment to me. He said, you know, I knew there was something about you when I had read a story that you went as a Mormon kid – living in Provo, Utah, essentially, being right. related to Lavelle Edwards and going to Utah. It spoke to me about someone who is willing to, no matter what the circumstances, it just told me something about your character that I really was impressed with. He says,
that's kind of interesting because a lot of people we talk to, they hate that about your character.
Sure. Yeah. No. But the point is that he took the time to dig deeper.
To see why.
And a lot of people don't. They just kind of go off, you know, what the favorite choice, you know, Chase Young from Ohio State.
Yeah.
Everybody's high on this guy, but maybe he's not as good as being popular, or maybe he's even better. Who knows? And the teams that consistently succeed in the NFL are excellent at evaluating talent.
What's a red tape thing for guys that even if you're a massive talent in the draft, what's a massive red tape thing for you? I know that there's some, you know,
character,
maybe a felony would be one of them. But
it's kind of someone who just has character issues. Like the thing with Jeff George. So Jeff George came out my year, and Jeff George moved around. Like he went to like three different places when he was in college.
Where'd Jeff George go to school? Yeah, that's what
he started out at. He started out at Purdue.
Ended up at Illinois.
Slowly,
right?
Almost went to Miami and ended up at Illinois. And there may have been more there, but so the question is, why can't this guy stay somewhere? Why?
Well, how did he go number one overall then in the draft?
Why? On one simple moment.
What happened?
He had a pro workout. Every team was there. We were drafted the same year.
Right.
And I was flying back from the special combine they had for juniors, and I was with the head scout for the Denver Broncos, and he goes, He goes, Jeff George will be the number one pick in the draft. I said, how do you know that? He goes, because he had a workout like 2 days ago, and they said, just drop back and throw the ball as far as you can. He threw it 80 yards in the air.
And that was it.
And they go, there's the first pick
in
the draft.
There's the guy.
Because you can't find guys that throw the ball.
There's not a raw talent out there that does
like,
that.
You just do that. And so it's always about raw talent. That's why you see him make mistakes. Tom Brady wasn't the most talented guy in the draft, but he had this underlying fire and focus and determination and probably like an IQ of football that was just off the charts.
Did they do the Wonderlic back when you did all that stuff?
Yeah. So the Kansas City Chiefs, when they got Patrick Mahomes, they knew this. They go, where we're picking and where his talent lies does not match. So this is the guy we really believe in.
And they had a very certain look. They had Alex Smith, and everyone's like, "Oh, he's serviceable. He's getting him to the playoffs." Blah blah blah.
But Andy Reid knew that if I'm really going to succeed, I need that young quarterback like I had with Donovan McNabb. And so they traded first round draft choices to move up to get to number 10. I mean, they jumped up, I don't know, 17 spots or whatever, to get there.
Well, and think about it too. With Alex Smith, they let a good thing go in the name of who's our most talented guy at this position.
Getting something better.
Yep. Interesting. Yeah. Taking the break. We're going to come back. You don't get this kind of insider stuff anywhere else. So this is the place to be. KSL's Unrivaled. More to go. We've got our MVPs next on a Friday. Stay with us.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.